It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This. Have you seen his Instagram?
They need
this Felger and Mass.
They don't use crank enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
And the horn is going to sound here at the BB&T Center. First meeting of the season between the Panthers and the Bruins, and it's Florida shutting out the Bees 5-0 here in South Florida to start a two-game road stretch between here and the Tampa Bay Lightning.
All right, welcome into the program, everybody. I got to start with the Bruins. I'm sorry. There's just things I got to get off my chest.
Go!
Because they pissed me off last night, but really, more tellingly, they're scaring me a little bit. Like, uh-oh, look out below now. Now look out. Now look out. You think you have a tough time against effing Florida, who is 29th in the league in goals allowed? 29th in the league in goals allowed, that outfit in Florida. You have trouble scoring against them or winning games against them or at home against Detroit? Look out below. You got Tampa tomorrow. Montreal's now a point behind you. You have Toronto over the weekend. Uh-oh. Now I'm starting to worry.
Getting a little dicey.
Now I'm starting to worry. Last night was hot freaking garbage. That was gross. That was grotesque. Last night. That's one of those Bruins games that sort of stop you in your tracks and make you go, what are they doing here? And what's going on? And of course I understand the injuries. Like, duh, of course. They're injured. I got it. But you know what the scary part is, Maz?
What's the scary part, Mike?
Outside of that forward, outside of Bergeron being hurt, that's their forward group. That's their team. They don't have injuries up front. Other than Patrice Bergeron, and that's an important one. I'm not going to take that away. But they're at the bottom of the league in goals scored. They cannot score, and no one's doing anything because they don't have anybody. I wonder. I worry. Again, Bergeron's a big one. I'm not going to take that away from you. But if you put Patrice Bergeron back on that team, you put him back on that line, they score a couple goals. What does everybody else do? Because everybody else is everybody else. That's their team.
Well, the forward group's been in question all year, right? I mean, early in the year, it was only the first line that was scoring. So now you take Bergeron away and no one else is scoring. Is that really a surprise? And I don't mean that you're surprised. You know what I mean. The fact of the matter is...
Yes, I'm surprised. Yes, I was expecting, because they were expecting, a next little wave of young players to come up and do something. And no one has done squat. Squat. Never mind the young kids, the next wave of kids you expect up to do something. How about the guys you're paying right now, like David Krejci? That is the scary part. I understand them giving up some goals and making some mistakes defensively. All right? Chara out. McAvoy out. Miller out. Carlo's been out and in and out for much of the year. I get it. You can give up some goals. You're going to have some problems in back. I get that. That forward group, that's who they are. That's their team, Maz. That's their team. So last night, you know, they've been playing something named Colby Cave on the first line with... Marchand and Pastrnak. Colby Cave in six games, 0-1-1. Zero. Can't leak a drop. So finally, Cassie says, screw it. I'll put Krejci up there. He put Krejci up with Marchand and Pastrnak, and they were worse. They were worse. Krejci made him worse. Which, if you can explain that to me, I don't know. Maybe David Krejci's just completely cashed. David Krejci last night, zero shots on goal in 14:45. Time on ice. David Krejci in the last four games, 0-0-0 minus four. hasn't scored a goal in 18 games. That's your highest paid player. Highest paid player. Hasn't scored a goal in 18 games. 0-0-0. Minus 4 in his last 4. And last night he plays with Pasternak and Marchand against one of the worst defensive teams in the league and doesn't register a shot. And that line got worse when they put Krejci on it. Do you have a thought before I keep going?
No, I was just trying to tell you a second ago that the young guys on this team, it feels to me like, can't play. So when I said that early in the year, is it a surprise? They were looking for a third-line center. They're looking for a second-line right wing. None of these guys stepped up in the preseason, and now there is the reality that they might not be able to play.
I didn't think it would be this bad. The young guys, Datton Heinen, the quiet one, 2 goals. Ryan Donato, 2 goals. Forsbacka Carlson, 2 goals. Sensing a trend? How many have they played? Like 40? 30-something? Anders Bjork, 1 goal, can't stay on the team. Forsbacka Carlson, again, 2 goals, in and out of the lineup. Did he even play last night? I don't think so. Colby Cave, again, the immortal one, your first-line center. 6 games, 0-1-1. And a lot of those 6 games were with Marchand and Pasternak, and the guy can't get on the sheet. So that next little wave of young players that they thought might be coming hasn't. In fact, might have taken a step back. And the big bloated contracts on the team, Krejci, your fourth line right wing, David Backes, have gotten worse. So do you want to start with the money players, or do you want to start with the guys that were supposed to come up and emerge as, you know, whatever, that next little wave of young players? But no, we can stick with the established guys. Did you watch Torey Krug last night?
Yeah, not good.
He's a mess. And defensively kind of always has been.
Exactly. Thank you.
But oh my God. Holy moly, Torey. That's your number one D. He was...
But a guy with that kind of tenure in the league should be better than he plays defensively.
Soft and just there on the first goal. He's an absolute sieve on the second goal.
Oh, no, I like that one in particular. Yeah, where he let the guy blow right by him.
He and go back and watch that one. The Matheson goal, I think, is who scored it. But watch both him and Ryan Donato and Torey Krug along the right wing wall, if you will, if you're going forward. Oh, my God. Oh, just atrocious. And then Torey Krug screens Halak on the third one, and that was a total sieve. I'm not blaming Krug, but first 3 goals, he's right there front and center. On Halak, he saves your ass for a period. He steals you a period. Yeah, miracle upon miracle, you get out of there 0-0 in the first period, and then he falls apart in the second. I didn't like him on the first goal. That thing started from behind the net, really. I mean, the rush was, it was a rush, but he loses a puck from behind, and I didn't like that one. The second one goes 7-hole underneath the chicken wing, and then the third one's just a total sieve. So he falls apart in the second period, too. So fine. These guys are what they are. But here's the scary part, Maz, is that I think this is where that 2015 draft really is showing itself, is really showing itself. I see a guy like Connor Clifton, who I think just... It absolutely blows. Sucks and blows. I think the guy can't play. And no one ever heard. No one knows who he is or where he came from or what he is. He's a defenseman from Providence who's up here because of all these injuries. Connor Clifton, who cannot play. Can't play. And when I watch him out there, you know what I think? How bad does this Jacob Zboril, he must suck. How bad does that guy have to be? That was the 13th overall pick. 13th overall pick in 2015. And so whenever I see Connor Clifton out there, I say, boy, what does that say about Zboril? It's now the 4th year he's supposed to be here. And so then I look at Jacob Zboril in the 2015 draft, and then I start to look around that first round, the one where you had 3 picks, and I see the other players taken off the board just ahead of you and certainly right behind you. And I go, oh, my God. Uh-oh. What did they do?
That draft was a disaster. Borderline disaster.
Dude, the comparable I can think of is, do you remember when Parcells went to the Jets and Bobby Greer got those boatload of picks?
Yep.
And it was sort of the make or break. Okay, you lose Parcells, but you get, I can't remember, 3 firsts spread out over 3 years. You have this whole draft board, and they blew it. They blew it. They didn't draft a single guy. And you looked back at that era and you say, well, that's where it happened. They had that golden chance right there, and Bobby Grubb leaked away all the picks. You look at this 2015 draft. It's a little early to. I'm not drawing any conclusions. I'm just saying this is what I'm now scared of. When you see the players, and I'll give you, they're showing the graphic right now on the simulcast. I'll give you a better breakdown of it, in a second. But there were players taken all over the place. The graphic we're showing on NBC Sports Boston is the players taken after your three picks. I'll give you players taken ahead, which again isn't totally fair, but with the 13th, 14th, and 15th pick, you have some flexibility. And of the 30 players off the board in that draft, it feels like 25 of them are in the league contributing. And there's about a dozen stars, I mean stars, from that draft. And you had three picks right in the middle of it. And you got DeBrusk. And so now you have all these injuries, which was a nice hit. That's fine. That's worth a 14th pick. I'll give you that. But Zboril and then Senyshyn at 15. And you look at what they have, where all these young guys, now they have injuries. They're decimated on the blue line. And you don't have the guy from that. You don't have a young player to slot in there because you may have totally botched that draft pick. And you're dying for wingers for Krejci or dying for wingers anywhere. And you don't have a guy because you may have blown the Senyshyn pick. How many guys have been back and forth up here? All these young kids back and forth, and Senyshyn doesn't even get a nod. It's scary. And so, like, that's my big takeaway last night, is that that's your team, not on D. So if they lose 4-3, I say, okay, you lose 4-3, you got problems on D, all those injuries, McAvoy, Chara, Miller, that's going to show up. It showed up. You lose 4-3. That's because of injuries. They can't score because they don't have anybody. And that's their team. There's no injuries up front other than Bergeron.
So to me, the part that's alarming is what I felt earlier in the year. What if these kids can't play?
Oh.
So ultimately, to me, the whole thing points right back at Sweeney. The whole point is Sweeney taking this thing over was to rebuild them from within. That was the whole idea. The whole plan was that Chiarelli had ruined the Bruins by committing to bad contracts and they drafted poorly. So Sweeney comes in and says, nope, we're going to build it from the inside out. We're tired of giving away our young talent and sprinkling it around the rest of the league and seeing it develop with the rest of the league. So we are going to commit to it. Fine. What if they can't play?
And boy, did he have an opportunity in 2015. He had three picks smack dab in the middle of a first round. That I don't have the historical context, but I don't know if it's the greatest of all time, but it was such a talent-rich first round. There are so many players out of that first round right now excelling across the league. It'll make you want to puke when I break it down for you. And so, fine, draft developed. That was the plan. 2015, three first-round picks, perfect. Players up and down that board in the first round, and you're right in the middle of it with three picks right in a row. Do whatever you want up there. And all you got out of it was Jake DeBrusk. It looks like. Ooh, that's scary. That is scary. And again, if you're losing to the likes of Detroit and Florida, you got Tampa tomorrow night. You got Toronto over the weekend. Montreal's now a point behind. Look out below. Uh-oh. Look out. So last night has me a little pissed and a little scared. We're going to start with Bruins. I'll break down that draft for you as well. You want to join? 617-779-0985 is your telephone number. We'll get you right after these words.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Miss something?
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Mads.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
Best, we weren't on time to start. I thought Yarrow was good in the first period, so you'd hope that we'd pick it up in the second. Recognize we got good goaltending to cover up for our mistakes, but it didn't happen. You know, at times it just looked like men against boys out there, and we just weren't up for the challenge tonight.
So it's not just a singular loss. Like, who cares? They lost a singular game. I mean, that's not what I'm getting bent out of shape about. Men against boys. Look at the team. Look at the team. The whole point here was that they would have another young player or two emerge along with their already existing young core, and that's the plan. Except their existing young core, well, the biggest piece to it, Charlie McAvoy, can't get on the ice. And all that next wave, not one of them has done a single thing. Not one of them has more than two goals. Not one of them. Donato, Heinen, Forsbacka, Carlson, Bjork, name whoever. Not one of them has more than two freaking goals. And frankly, don't even look good doing it. Heinen, I never notice. Forsbacka, Carlson can't stay in the lineup. Bjork can't stay in Boston. Donato, he's got that release still, but God, did you see him on that goal last night?
No, he gets pushed around, please. He gets pushed around.
So none of them do anything. All right, so then rely on some of the secondary pieces who make a lot of money. David Backes makes $6 million a year, and they have had all these injuries, all these kids up and down, this massive need here, there, and elsewhere. And he is the fourth line right wing, buried on the fourth line. Krejci gets second line minutes last night, is promoted to the first line, and the first line got worse. They got worse when Krejci played with, as useless as Colby Cave has been, they were worse when Krejci went up there. Highest paid player on the team, no goals in 18 games. The last four without Bergeron, 0-0-0-4 for David Krejci. Is that going to get better? I mean, can't get any worse. I'll grant you that. So what do they have? The defensive injuries I get. But the forward group, that's your team. That's your team. If Bergeron came back, fine. Maybe the erection line would start scoring a couple goals again. What's anyone else doing? Zero. Absolutely zero. And don't, oh man, wait till you hear that 2015 draft. Absolutely frightening. Matt in Boston, though. Let's get some reaction. Go ahead.
So, Michael, let me tell you two things that really kicked the living hell out of me about the Bruins last night. It was not the actual game itself. So I decided just for fun to go over to the Nesson postgame show last night because, like most people at this time of year, I'm a sucker for punishment. So I'm watching it, and Ned Flanders, who runs the show, by the way, is saying, one, well, you got Don Sweeney's got to make a trade. To which I say, you haven't been paying attention to Don Sweeney's work during his tenure because it's literally a roll of the dice when it comes to him doing the trading, make sure he gets it right. And the second one is, Billy Jaffe is sitting there saying, oh, you know, the ice was so bad last night, and the Florida lifestyle is so difficult for some of these people.
Okay, I'm just kidding. I mean, I heard the stuff about Florida, which is actually fair, and I want to get to coming up. But they are employed by the team. What do you want? They're not going to – that's not the place for it. They're not going to do it. And I don't expect them to, frankly. The thing about the trades is, what do you have that anyone wants?
Well, see, to me, this whole thing that you're talking about, this to me is, you know, to become apparent during the offseason. And now it's an indictment on Sweeney. That's who it's an indictment on. So, like, you know, we can talk about Bjork, and I don't think Bjork's good either, but whose fault is that? Sweeney, Donato, Sweeney, JFK, Sweeney. Like, I keep coming back to Sweeney. At the end of the day, this was his job. This was his whole platform. His whole platform was to build it from the inside out with the young guys. His whole freaking candidacy, if that's what you want to call it, his whole tenure is built on it. If they can't play, he's screwed.
Absolutely. Charlie in the car, your thoughts.
Hey guys, so just one stat to show how pathetic they are right now. Bergie is still our third leading scorer with 9 goals, and he's been out for, what, almost 2 weeks now? So that's how bad it is. One point I think I have to make is that I don't know what's going on with Brad Marchand, but I think whenever he has that A on his sweater, whether it comes down from the coaches or if it's in his own subconscious, he plays more conservatively, and that's not his style. He's meant to be out there to play that game of cat and mouse, get under the other player's skin, and that's what helps him find his groove and is able to turn him into the goal scorer that he always is.
You don't think he did that against Detroit? Was he doing that thing against Detroit?
Yeah, but I mean, that was one game out of the past 2 weeks.
No, I think every other game he's an a-hole. I still see that from him. A chippy little prick. That's not the issue. He's lost Bergeron. So, like, he excels with Bergeron next to him. Who wouldn't? I'm not going to get on Marchand for that. I mean, could he do more? Absolutely. And Pastrnak could do more. He had a couple of really good chances early last night, you know, couldn't bury him. So those are on them. But that's not... You expect those guys to score 4 goals every night between them. That's not, you can't win that way. You can't live that way. And when that line was just carrying you in the first month, even when Bergeron was there, I'm like, this doesn't do anything for me. This doesn't prove anything. You got one line and that's it. You still don't have a team. You'll get your ass shut right down in the postseason.
They needed to make a trade during the offseason. Sweeney needed to make a deal during the offseason when he had they had the Krug issue, so that was that one was sort of beyond their control. But you had all of these extra wingers who might have still had some value at that time, because now it looks like they have zero. If you go back to that whole group, again, Heinen, Bjork, Donato, DeBrusque, all of those guys, like, someone had to go. You couldn't keep all those. He should have made a deal for a veteran forward.
And so now, if you're dealing from that group, you're selling low. Justin in Shrewsbury, yes.
Hi, this is kind of a shot in the dark, but I just want to see what you guys think if the Bruins should trade for Tyler Seguin or maybe bring him back in the offseason because he's a free agent next year.
He signed.
He re-signed. And I wouldn't go backwards like that anyway. I don't think that's going to help you. You need a series of young players here. You don't see one guy. I mean, it would help. And I don't even think he's the guy. I'm still not a big believer in him. So, no, and he signed, and he's there in Dallas, so, you know, no. Tommy in the car. Go ahead, Tommy.
Maz, I love you to death, but you stole my point, and I hate it. Don Sweeney missed a Goliath opportunity to trade Heinen, who scored, 15 goals last year, Donato, who was basically a point a game when he played. You could have sold so high to some dumb team, because there are plenty of them in the NHL, and gotten either a winger or gotten potentially your Chara replacement. And now you have to worry about not only the fact did he invest in the wrong people, but there's no way we can trust him going forward.
So
he hit on McAvoy. He might have hit on Sidneko. We don't know. He's doing well in the minors. But other than that, we could be up a creek. Thanks, guys.
Okay, so it's too early to say I don't trust him. I mean, it was too early last year to say you trust him. Say, so he's still somewhere in the middle. Like, what are you? How good are you? How much should I trust you? I don't know. I thought you all jumped the gun last year. I like to run commercials on what you folks were saying last year. Idiotic. And so I didn't fully buy in last year, and I'm not going to go overboard this year. I guess it's still early. Is this his fourth year?
As a team, they were going to backslide a little bit this year because they overachieved last year.
I'm fine with backsliding.
So some of that was going to happen, but the point is what's going on now suggests that these kids can't play. That's the problem, is that they look like a bunch of, at best, fourth liners. That's what, Heinen may be a third liner, maybe, but I'm not even sure he's that. So now what? Now you got a bunch of young guys who can't play that you have to package, 5 of them together to get someone who can play on the third line? Like, the value is so diminished. This is the danger of, if Sweeney was going to go the way he went, and he had to, I'm not criticizing the approach, but you had to draft. You had to draft and you had to develop. If these kids can't play, they're porked.
Here's what I wonder is they were really good at drafting, developing there, or they hit on a group of players. Is that because Cassidy was the one developing him in Providence? And now that he's here, they're not getting the same coaching down there? Like, it's just something to consider. Like, a lot of those guys Cassidy worked with. So I don't know if that's one thing. Either way, did not look good. You needed that next little wave, and they're not getting it. Here's a scary one for you, too. And DJ Bean said this to me last night off the air. It was a great point. I didn't think of it. We spent yesterday talking about Charlie McAvoy, how scary this thing is, whether it's his heart or he's super leery of the concussions and really sensitive to concussions, which is, again, he's probably playing the wrong sport if he's really sensitive to concussions. Like, it's a whole scary thing now. I mean, he came up here that first year, looked amazing, and it's been, really injury-riddled decline since. And now he can't, it's like he's struggling just to get on the ice or dealing with anxiety just to practice. It's like, oh, God, what's going on here? Never mind again, the heart thing. What do you pay the guy? He's going to be one of these super-duper RFAs, one of these, the whole league. The kid in Toronto. Just
Nylander.
Nylander just held, this is like the new thing where these really hot rookies, after their second, third year, even as restricted guys, you got to pay them. You've got to pay the market rate. And McAvoy, we were saying, that's going to be the guy. That's a $7 million defense. What if that's what he wants? Can you possibly pay him that?
No.
What do you do?
No, you can't pay him that. The good news is, if you want to say it's good news, is that the longer he's off the ice, the more the price comes down.
You think?
Yep.
You would think, but I don't know. Does it?
I mean, who's going to give him that money if he's got concussion problems?
I don't know. That's just think of that one.
Yeah, so, but if I'm them, I don't give it to him. I don't. Of course, they're not in a position of strength at the moment either, so they great. Might not have a choice.
The most important player on the team. Let's just have him hold out for half a year.
But you know, when you watch all these young guys, you know what? They all feel soft to me. And when I feel soft, when I say soft, I don't mean that, in terms of makeup. They're slight. There's no physicality there. And I'm not saying I want some guys going to crash through the boards and do nothing else either. Could you have some willingness to get in front and dig and fight for a puck?
Okay.
Because they all feel like finesse players to me. Maybe that's a better word. Finesse. Other than DeBrusque, whom I like, and there's some grit there. But the rest of them? I mean, Donato will get in front of the net, or at least he used to, but he gets pushed. He's too small. It feels to me like he's slight. I don't feel like Donato's strong enough.
So here's the scary part. They had a golden opportunity to rebuild just the way they wanted to with that draft in 2015. Golden opportunity. Three picks right in the middle of a first round that was talent rich. And you have to wonder if they blew it. Because now's the exact time those guys would be flashing and you'd be seeing them, and they're needed. And they're nowhere to be found. Let me take a look at that right after Murray's update here. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
With the 15th pick, the Bruins select Zachary Senyshyn from the Sioux Greyhounds.
Is that the Chris Canty draft pick in 1997? Whatever year that was?
I say Tavon Wilson.
Here's what's really beginning to scare me about the Bruins. Did they blow it? Did they have that chance in 2015? They had three first-round picks back-to-back-to-back. three first-round picks, 13, 14, and 15, in a draft where all stars, came off the board all over the first round. Ahead of them, some of them out of reach. Connor McDavid went one overall that year. They're not getting Connor McDavid. Jack Eichel went second overall. They're not getting Jack Eichel. So I'm not blaming them for those guys. And they tried to get Hanifin at five. And Don Sweeney thought he had a deal for Hanifin at five. He's going to package those three picks, move up to five, and get Noah Hanifin. And it blew up in his face, and he was left with his Schmenzer in his hand. But, oh boy, did he have plenty of opportunity to atone for it. Still, you could have sat there, 13, 14, and 15, and gotten yourself three All-Stars. And before I start this, I think some of the draft analysis that's done, and I've done it certainly many times in the past, is a little unfair in that it's like, if you miss a single player in a single draft, well, that happens to everybody. Danny Ainge passed on Antetokounmpo, and so did half the league. You know, Danny Ainge passed on Dirk Nowitzki, and so did 11 other teams or whatever it was, right? Wherever he went. I think he did. I'm not sure if he passed on Nowitzki or not. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's always that guy. And you know, so when 15 teams pass on one guy and there's one guy that you missed, like, okay.
Kawhi Leonard.
Stephon Diggs went in the fifth round. You know, these things happen.
Tom Brady went in the sixth. Everyone missed that. I'm not getting on any other team for passing on Tom. So, but when you've got three picks in a row and you've got a first round where, again, there might be 20 legit high-end players on that first round and you come up with one of them. Oh, God, that's scary. And so you really start with the players they passed on. This is so effing frightening, it's not even funny. 13, 14, 15, Zboril, DeBrusque, Senishin. Going 16 was Matthew Barzal, who is an absolute stud for the Islanders. Point-a-game guy in a league where that doesn't happen anymore. Barzal's played 110 games. He's got 106 points. If you ever watch him, he's the one that is whipping around the offensive zone over and over and over again, and no one get the puck from him. That's who Matthew Barzal is. Absolute stud. Going 17 was Kyle Connor. He's in Winnipeg. He has 43 goals in 123 games. Basically, Kyle Connor was drafted. He came into the league and immediately was an NHL contributor. High-end contributor. Going next, 18 was Thomas Chabot, and I know I'm going to... Chabot, I can't even pronounce the name. But it's the defenseman in Ottawa. You probably hear him when you play the Senators. And I've sort of missed on this one, because I haven't mentioned this one in the past. Right now, look at NHL defenseman scoring leaders. Guess who leads the National Hockey League in scoring by defensemen? Is it Brent Burns? Nope. Is it Drew Doughty? Nope. Is it John Carlson? Nope. Is it Chris Letang? Nope. Is it Eric Carlson? Nope. Is it PK Subban? No. You know who leads the NHL in points by a defenseman?
Chabot.
Thomas Chabot, who was sitting there at 18 for the Ottawa Senators. You took Zboril, DeBrusque, and Senishin, and next three players off the board, Barzal, Connor, Chabot. Three all-stars. Whether they haven't been named to the team yet or not. Someone who was drafted 23 by Vancouver, is Brock Boeser. And again, sorry if I'm sure I've mispronounced it. Brock Boeser made the All-Star game last year in Vancouver. He scored 39 goals in 88 NHL games. He's an All-Star. Going 24 was Travis Konechny in Philadelphia. 176 NHL games. Basically, he's drafted and was an NHL player from day one. 43 goals, 48 assists, 91 points in 176 NHL games. You think he'd help right now? You're dying for help at center. Dying for center help. Oh, and then there's Anthony Beauvallier with the Islanders. 162 games already. You can't get a center now. You have no help at center. Barzal, Konechny, Beauvallier, all sitting right there. You had three cracks at all three of those guys, and you didn't. And you took Zach Senishin. Oh my God!
And Senishin was the one that was the reach. That was the one, because on the other ones, like to me, that was the one when they picked him. Senishin, everyone went,
what?
Like that's a guy who's projected to go much later. I'm not even sure he was projected to go until like the end of the second. It might have been even later.
Third round, I thought.
It might have been even later than that. Yeah, you might be right, Murray.
And Barzal sitting right there.
It might have been later than that, and they reached for a guy with the third pick, and they whiffed.
Oh. Remember the Patriots in the late 90s?
Belichick move.
When Parcells left, you got all those picks. And 3 years later, you had no talent. And you look back, you said, Bobby Greer blew it. You had all those picks. I'm worried now. 2015. And again, I'm not blaming them for all these players because they're not going to trade up to get Connor McDavid at number one. So I'm not blaming them for not getting McDavid. But just listen to the players who went off the board in 2015. McDavid was one. Eichel was two. Mitch Marner in Toronto was four. Stud. Noah Hanifin was five. Ivan Provorov, who's a young stud defenseman in Philadelphia, went seven. Zach Werenski, young stud defenseman in Columbus, went eight. Timo Meier went nine to San Jose, everyday player in San Jose, not quite the stud yet, but number 10 is Mikko Rantanen. He's part of that amazing line in Colorado. He went 10. McDavid, Eichel, Marner, Hanifin, Provorov, Werenski, Meier, Rantanen, Barzal, Connor, Shabbat, Bowser, Konechny, Beauvallier. How many did I just list? 13, 12? And if I really dug more, there's more everyday NHL players on that list in the first round. Oh my God, that was the year. And I draft nerd out there could do another analysis of the draft after, the draft before. Find me another first round that had that many NHL-ready studs who are already in the league. Third year in, Barzal is freaking nasty. Oh, he's nasty. And you need a center, you pass on all these centers.
This is their Chris Canty and Cedric Shaw.
Andy Katzenmoyer.
Rod Rutledge.
This is what I'm worried about because now you need them. Now you need them. First couple years, it's hard for young, you know, first couple years, who knows? And they had a heck of a year last year anyway, and they had some other young players emerge last year, so it doesn't really impact you. Now you're injured up and down the lineup. You desperately need help at center. You desperately need help at D. Barzal and Shabbat are sitting right there. Right there. You don't have to trade up. And you take Jake Zaboral and Zach Senyshyn, and those guys can't even get a sniff. Senyshyn doesn't even get a look with all these call-ups and back-and-forth guys. Zaboral got two games, and after two games, the team said, no, we'll take something named Connor Clifton instead. And Connor Clifton can, period, not, period, play, period. So that's starting to scare me. That game pissed me off last night. But even more, it's kind of worried me. So we'll take your thoughts on that in a long commercial-free segment next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit Flutie Foundation. Foundation.org to get involved.
What can we say about Felger and Maz that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
With the 13th pick, Boston is proud to select Jacob Zaboral from the St. John Sea Dogs.
As Murray would say,
He couldn't even say, Donsky couldn't even say it. That should have been the lesson right there. Yeah. Don't take this kid.
I'm not going to get anyone for not being able to pronounce a name.
Jakob Zaboral.
I can't even pronounce Thielen. Oh, God. Never. They can't. You need him. It's the fourth year. and they can't even get a call up. And meanwhile, you got guys all over the league who went that very round, that very year when you had three right in the middle of the first round. And you got DeBrusque, you got one. You're not over, but oh, man. Oh.
They needed a minimum of two out of that draft.
And it'd be one thing if it was, and then, you know, here's another thing. If there was nothing in that first round, you know, you look back, and this happened to the Patriots sometimes too. Well, they got nothing in 2009. Well, there was nothing there. Or, you know, I just made that year up. I'm not sure if that was the year. But
sure, some drafts are bad.
Yeah, there's plenty of years you look back and you say, well, what do you want him to do? There wasn't a good player that went after him the entire draft. This draft? Oh. Guys sitting right there. All up and down the board that year.
See, what concerns me, too, is that what if it's not just that draft?
So I haven't even done the work on the others.
So Trent Fredericks, Danica, like, look, some of these guys, I think, have promise. I think. But I felt the same way last year about Donato. I felt the same way last year about Bjork.
Those were end of the first round and second round selections. They were sitting at 13, 14, and 15 in the middle of a first round that had players all up and down the board. So that's what's got me scared. Nick in Marshfield. Go ahead, Nick.
It's truly demoralizing to listen to that draft class, isn't it?
Oh,
I can't believe it. Like, the fact that Matt Barzal could have been here, Felger, talk about getting a coho in your pants. That's what I would have watching Matt Barzal on the Black and Gold every day. But I call it because Charlie McAvoy, I read this article the other day from Jimmy Murphy that said that Don Sweeney went into the offseason talking to Charlie McAvoy about an extension, and they offered $6.5 million. And McAvoy said, no, I want between $8 and $9 million. This guy can't even play a full season. He's out at least 20 to 25 games every year so far, and obviously I feel bad. It sucks. Like, you can't do anything about concussions or a heart problem. But, like, my God, dude, you do not deserve $8 to $9 million a year. I'm sorry.
This is an issue. And, again, DJ brought this up to me last night. Credit to him. It never occurred to me. This is his – it's not his walk year because he's just an RFA, but this is a year where the league now, these young guys get paid. And up until maybe the end of last year – you know, we said McAvoy was one of these guys. He just is. He's a young franchise defenseman. He's going to get his ass paid $7-8 million a year. You got to do it. No other choice. Now, on top of the heart, he's got a concussion thing that he doesn't even, and I keep saying he, no one knows the hit that he took that concussed him. No one knows the specific hit. No one can point it out. He can't remember what hit it was. And he's been knocked out so badly that it was October 18th was his last game. He just got on the practice ice yesterday or the day before for contact for the first time in a month and a half. And he talked about just having anxiety getting on the practice ice. I mean, I feel bad for the kid on a personal level, but that's sort of scary. This is a high-impact sport. Wrong sport if you have problems with concussions. Never mind a heart issue, and now you want $9 million a year? Ugh.
Would you give it to him?
No.
Would you give him $7 million? No, you can't.
Okay.
You can't give him that money now. You can't do it. I mean, obviously, we'll see what happens over the balance of the season. But if there's, you're talking about these kinds of issues, and he's a mediocre player for the balance of the year, however many games he might miss, you can't give him that money. And the money you're talking about, Nylander got, what, $6.9 million a year from the Maple Leafs? I know he's a winger. But the defenseman in Winnipeg, he was the same boat last year when he held out. Was that Trouba? Right,
I'm not sure. I can't remember.
One of those guys held out to like November 1st. So, like, but those are the kinds of players you're talking about. Just to you know, the RFAs.
Yeah,
the money's coming. Like, they got to make a call on him.
Scary group right there. Sean in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Sean. Oh, I'm sorry, I hit the wrong button. It doesn't matter. Brandon in Foxborough. Go ahead, Brandon.
Mike, what's going on? Do you know what team Thomas Chabot played for? He played on the same junior team with Jacob Zboril.
Bruins
scouts went there a lot, and they miss Chabot watching him play when they're scouting Zboril. How does that happen?
Oh.
I understand that you miss. But when you have three picks in a row, 13 through 15, and it's a consensus, multiple people are saying, Barzal, you got to take a gamble on him. You have three picks. His skill's off the chart, and they whiff three times. That's unexcusable. I'm sick and tired of Don Sweeney's drafting. Then they shove these prospects down our throats. He's Ben Sherrington 2.0. He couldn't sell water to someone in the desert if they needed a glass of water.
Brendan,
I've had enough of him.
Zboril and Chabot played on the same team, the same junior team?
So they didn't whiff three times. DeBrusque was a good pick.
Yes. Yes.
Like, I'm not giving him grief on DeBrusque.
I agree.
But the other two, and Senishin to me in particular, is the worst of the three. Like, do you get three in a row and you miss? You had to hit on two there, at least. You can't have three first-rounders in a row in the middle of the round and only get one player. You can't do it.
Shabbat and Zaboro both played on the St. John Sea Dogs in Quebec. Oh, and they took Zaboro. Thomas Shabbat leads NHL defenseman in scoring right now. He was sitting right there on the board for you. And you took a player who you can't even call up in his fourth year. He sucks so bad. Sean in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Sean.
Mike, you know what drives me crazy about this draft? Go back and look at what was written right after the draft. If you Google Bleacher Report 2015 Bruins draft or NHL draft, every publication gave the Bruins basically C, D's, and S for those three picks. So it's basically like everybody had it figured out except for Sweeney. Sweeney came in and tried to be the smart guy in the room, and instead everybody else is laughing at him. Go back and look at all that was written up right after that draft. It's not like we're going back with revisionist history saying, oh, well, you should have done it. Everybody else said, don't take these three guys.
So
and
look,
he took them, and now we're screwed.
All right, Sean, thank you for the call. I mean, I understand that. I don't ever do that. You can't tell a draft until 3 years later in any sport. In baseball, it's longer, and you know, in football, maybe it's a little shorter. But you're drafting 18-year-old kids. So if anyone tells you the next day that you had a good pick or not, they're lying. They don't know. So maybe just the consensus happened to be right that year. I never do that. I never grade a draft the next day, ever. That's stupid. Unless you draft a running back and then you're dumb. So that's an easy one. But in terms of can a guy play or not, then you know you need a couple years. I'm not going to knock him for that. Now here we are in the fourth year. And they desperately need reinforcements, and their guys aren't ready, and they may never be.
Bleacher Report. The Bruins had 10 selections. The best pick was probably DeBrusk, a quality scorer, has soft hands around the net, similar to Jordan Eberle. Grade F.
So they nailed it. They knew.
F.
I mean, good for them. But, I mean, for everyone you do that, you could say.
Okay. I mean, so, look, that one fits the agenda.
Right.
I mean, that one fits the agenda. But in the caller's defense, I've heard people say for years the Bruins whiffed on that draft. I've heard people say early on, people in town say the Bruins screwed that draft up.
A guy that I know who's an amateur scouting director for a team in the league told me 2 years ago, they got some young guys who can play but not from that draft. DeBrusk is okay, but they missed on that draft. So again, I heard that 2 years ago from a college scout, amateur scouting director from a team in the league. You know, it might have been on Nantucket a week after Jimmy Hayes almost beat the bag out of me. It was like in that same sort of time frame. But it's what he said to me. Oh, but look, I don't need a scouting director to look at the first round that year and see Barzal, Connor, and Shabbat go 16, 17, 18 when you went Zaboro, DeBrus, Shenison, 13, 14, 15. That doesn't take any acumen. It just takes eyes. That's frightening.
See, and to me, too, I think the caller nailed it. They were too smart for their own good. Senishin reeks, and I always say Tavon Wilson and Jordan Richards, because those guys were high picks in the second round that nobody had projected for the Patriots, obviously, that nobody had projected until like the fifth round, fourth round. Some people didn't even have those players in the draft, for crying out loud. Then they get to the first round, the Bruins at number 15, and take Senishin, who people don't have going, and Murray thinks it was in the third round, late in the third at best. That's a pick where you say, oh no, we see a guy out there that no one else sees. Okay. And you outsmart yourself.
All right. I just want to follow up on this after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials. I also just want to hit quickly on the Florida thing. I'll explain to you what that means. Come up again right after the update. No spots here.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. Still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at CambridgeSavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. Member FDIC.